listening to The Nasty Table,
the premier source for tabletop role-playing actual play. Now come on in, relax, and pull up a seat to The Nasty Table.
Almost at all.
You would imagine a car covered by a tarp. LFPD cruiser.
Wang, you in here?
Bathroom door crashes open. The bedroom door crashes open. Put your fucking hands up right now.
Where the fuck is my dog?
Longo works with Dan Winters and then gets a promotion right after. Right? There are no fucking coincidences.
Figured out.
Tell him to shut up! Fuck you, Roy.
What did you do with the rocket?
He died on the drive over.
Get the fuck in the room right fucking now, Lang. I'm done with you.
You would do the same exact thing.
Roy's gonna get a fucking haircut. Like he's doing it. He's serious.
I gotta admit,
horrible thing to say to a person.
I was just trying to say that that's not a compliment.
How's it not a compliment?
That's a cop haircut.
That's a cop haircut.
You like
cops, Finn? You a little rat, Fink?
I just like blowing them.
Let's go.
I got this hair for the fucking boys in blue.
I think it looks good.
I think it looks. It was not meant to be.
Thank you.
It was not meant to be.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I get it. I see where we stand.
Give me a recap of that last session.
And then he was like, but you trust everything else that RJ says besides that? And we're like, hey, RJ's not 100% believable, we don't think. Go ahead, Joe.
That single comment saved your guys' lives. One round of combat away from him pulling the trigger. That comment alone saved your life.
Yeah.
Thanks.
I'm a DM. But I'm also I'm a white boy with a little bit of swag too. But the third thing that I am is that I'm viewing this story too. Like I'm a spectator in this story. Yes, okay, I set some stuff up, but at the end of I feel like it's two different people. The DM, I write my shit and that's it. But like Joe, who's reacting to your guys' actions in the story, I'm like, fuck, shit, that's crazy. That's, whoa, what the fuck? What was I saying with this? Where was I going? I had a point
holy
with
master.
This. I swear to God, I had a point with
whoa,
this.
Whoa, holy mash.
His decision changed.
Caleb seemed like he wanted to die in that situation.
Yes. Not that he wanted to, but he was okay with it.
Aaron Lang, I mean, gun right up to your face. Yeah. Shut up. Shut the fuck up.
Mm-hmm.
You close your mouth, you are guaranteed to, you know, make it a little bit longer. Just kept popping off, just kept lipping off.
And it wasn't a matter of metagaming me being like, Joe's not going to fucking kill me. Joe wouldn't have Aaron Lang kill me. I knew that that was a real possibility.
That situation goes a lot different when he pulls the trigger. I can tell you that for sure.
100%.
I mean, that's, when we think back on this campaign, this is one of the big moments where shit seriously, seriously could have gone different.
Is it crazy to say that if you would have gotten him to pull the trigger, that Roy was definitely dead too?
Yeah, he had a barrel.
I mean,
in
that's
my
two
head.
Shotguns at you. Why would he not shoot you too? Like you would have, you guys both would have fucking died.
Yeah.
Crazy.
And you acknowledged it last session too. I opened that door, somebody's getting shot.
Yeah.
100% true. 100% true.
Yeah. That was like in my head. You're like, Jerry, you're up. I'm like, if I peek my head around the fucking corner, someone's gonna die, whether it's me or Roy.
Cool.
Doesn't matter.
Cool. But did Jerry recognize that, or did Nick recognize that? Do you think that Jerry would have kind of gauged that?
I think so, yeah.
Now, I'm not saying that he didn't. I'm just saying, like, what in that situation gave Jerry pause to understand that, just let's sit here
didn't
and watch this shake out.
Like shotguns be fucking
yeah, I mean,
cocked
you saw
and all
it.
That shit.
You saw
yeah,
it.
So
this isn't an attack. This is me just, you know,
I know it's
digging
too,
in
I
your
mean,
brain.
I feel like that's common sense for anybody, especially if you're a fucking detective. Like there's two of your detectives are on the ground, unarmed, shotguns pointed at them.
Is there something
I peek that and I shoot, that's I can shoot one person. There's still another guy with a shotgun that's going to shoot.
Is there a situation where you go in there? How far can that escalate?
It was pretty close. I mean, if I was, like, really convinced, like, someone was about to die, yeah, I would have had, like, and I have to do something. Like, if I hear Caleb really, really pushing or something like that, like, I think, and then he would, and then, like, I don't know, maybe not. I also was really waiting for, or trying to hope, like, Ray would come up. Since I'm hobbling and shit like that, I was hoping, like, if we could get, like, two people to peek this, that makes it a different story. But if one person peeks it, someone's gonna die. If it's one person to two guns.
Yeah, you already heard the gunshot.
One gun to
too.
Two guns, it's not gonna work.
When he shot the radio. You know what I mean? You already heard that a shot too. In there, so it's mm-hmm. like, fuck.
Were you guys more nervous?
True, actually, that's true. For all that, like, Jerry, could, in that moment, like, if you're in that moment, think about it, like, one of my friends just died. One of my guys just died. The whole time it was just the radio, but still, like, until I hear you both talking.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. Yeah. Is you could definitely hear them both talking. And your view into there wasn't super obfuscated. It wasn't super, you know, hard to see in there. Were you guys more scared during? No, I shouldn't say scared. Were you guys more nervous for your characters during that or the fight with Doug? I think it would be an easy question to answer.
For Roy, the Doug fight.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah,
figured.
Just because, like, we know Lang, you know, and like, it was a really hard fucking case to, like, convince him otherwise.
I feel like you guys just had back-to-back boss fights. Back-to-back boss fights.
In two totally different ways.
Exactly. Yeah. So, and that's kind of one of the ways that I like to approach D&D, too, is, like, yeah, you have these, okay, combat, sure, combat. That's a boss fight, sure. But you also have these dialogue-related boss fights where you are making decisions that can't be taken back in a conversation with high stakes. Anything else that you guys want to throw into this recap? Then we're going to play a game. But it's not Delta Green, not just yet. I have an offer for everyone at the table to earn a program point.
Deal.
You'll take it?
I decline.
I am, if you're interested, you don't have to do it if you don't want to. I think it would be a good exercise. We are going to improv some stuff. And you might say, oh, well, Joe, it's a little late in the campaign for this, but oh, I think it's just on time. We are going to practice improvisation. I'm going to ask you to tell me a story based off of your character. And I have a list. I'm going to pull from them, whichever one's speaking to me. But if you are able to improvise a good story based off of what I tell you, based off of your character, an experience your character has had, something like that, I'll give you a program point for it. Is everyone interested in playing my game? Because it is a fun one.
I'll try it.
Oh, you're going to put me up on like that? Come on, dude.
You don't have to do it if you don't want to.
If it's a terrible story, do we still get a program point?
No, it has to be good. A good, believable story. But you can't stop. You can't think. You can't take it back. And it might be a little jumbled or whatever, but, you know, rein it back in and give me a good story. You ready? You want to go first? You're the one talking the most. You want to go first?
All right, I'll try. God damn.
You ready?
Wait, hold on. All right, I'm ready.
As Roy, tell me the story of Roy buying his ranch. How was it? Go ahead.
Just right now, I just got to do it.
Just off the dome. Just
okay,
do it.
Yeah, he bought his ranch maybe 10 to 15 years ago when April came in the picture after he came back from where he's originally from. Which I don't know if I should say to you guys, but I'm just gonna fucking...
You don't have to if you don't want to.
Okay, yeah, he's not from this state. Yeah, 10 to 15 years ago. Hit up good old Chuck Berry.
Chuck Berry helped him buy the ranch.
Chuck Berry is his plug, man. That's fucking crazy. Hit him up with the horses, hits him up with all his farming needs, hit him up with the ranch, and,
What was appealing about the ranch for him? How many acres is it?
Open space, 15 acres, big, big fucking place. Yeah, and the most appealing part was just plenty of room to ride that fucking horse, man.
What was it like moving in?
Stressful. He just mourned the loss of his sister. Took in, you know, April, his niece, his sister's kid. but hopeful. So, nice big place, new land, and new people, and, you know, I don't want to... Caper as well, you know, new things in his life.
So. Nice. I like it.
Let's go.
Good. Take a program point.
Fuck.
Anyone else interested? It's a free program point if you got the balls for it.
I'll do it.
Yeah. Chop.
You want to go first? Are you going to do it? Oh, yeah, I'll do it.
You ready? I got a good one.
Hell yeah.
Tell me the story of when Ray first met his partner, Jerry.
Oh, I thought you were going to say another name. I was like, nope. Whoa.
Meeting his partner, Jerry, for the first time.
Okay. Well, I was moving into town. I was on my way from the suburb of Chicago, PD, and I hadn't been able to retain a partner for very long at all in my time with Chicago. Got into some shit, moved out here, and Jerry was the first guy they stuck with, man. I mean, he was always pretty. I don't want to say mellow, but, you know, he kind of gave it to you as it was, and he didn't mind my shit, you know. He kind of put up with me. We could share a cigarette, you know, throw back a cup of coffees, get to work, do the business we need to, shoot the shit over a beer. I don't know. I always trusted Jerry from our first couple cases. I mean, he wasn't with me on all of them in the beginning. I was kind of doing some loner bullshit, grunt work. Being new on the force, but Jerry's a pretty cool guy. His wife is she's a nice lady too. I know he has good contact with his parents and all. He's an honest guy. I think his head's in the right place.
Beautiful. Take a program point. Very
so
nice.
Fucking nice, dude. He spoke so nicely about Jerry. Holy shit.
His wife is so hot. His wife is so fucking hot.
You want a piece of this action, red guy?
I'll give it a try.
Give it a shot. I got a good one for you. Walk me through your father's funeral.
So, back Michigan, funeral set up outside, military funeral, huge, just vast amount of people that are there, knew him from his childhood, from the precinct, because he made it up to be captain before the end there, and in this swarm of people, Caleb turns church in the background, and there's a little swing set for the kids after church, and this is the church that Caleb went to his whole life, and a little bit away from the rest of the people, sits on the swing and starts to remember, even with all these people that came up to him today, all these people that say that they loved him, cared for him, he's felt alone till now, and he remembers back to a time at church when his father was there pushing him on the swing, and then nothing. Nobody's behind him. His father's not there. But Caleb realizes that now, after he's gone, he can be his own person that doesn't need the attention, doesn't need the affection of somebody else to give him any sense of worth, that there is actually people that are there for him.
Take two.
What?
Go ahead, take two. That was really good.
Bro.
Thank you.
Very nice. Beautiful. How does Caleb grapple with that now? Complicated feelings.
Oh, it went out the window 2 days ago. A couple days ago, that's how he's been feeling. That's how he's been feeling for what did I say was here? Like 7 years, maybe?
Yeah.
7 years that I've been in Linwood, and then and had that feeling of confidence and togetherness. Up till my wife wasn't real.
Was your wife at the funeral?
This man's got a fake wife.
Yeah, yeah, she was there, and that's the whole thing, that even her, he said that he felt a little distant, like he was told that he was loved, but unloved, till that moment.
Stupendous. Do you want to give it a shot?
Bro, after they just crushed it like that? Come on, dude.
I got a good one for you if you're interested, but if you don't want to do it, you don't want to do it. It's a free program point if you can do it.
That dude, they just crushed it, bro. I can't do it.
You're skipping it? Wow. Bully him. Bully him. Make him do it.
I can't do
it
after that.
It can
be bad. Dude, y'all crushed it, bro. This is giving me like trauma to like school presentations. Like, that's what I can't fucking
do. That's what we do every single time that we come down here. We expose ourselves and we make ourselves vulnerable. I get to hide behind a screen, so I have that luxury at least, but truthfully, God's honest truth, when you really fall into a character like that, you are acting. You're an actor. And when you are at the peak of that, which I believe to be improvisation, you're very, very vulnerable. Because you're exposed. Because you don't have the time to think and make a shield around the words that come out of your mouth. It's just truly what is there at that moment. Unfiltered, unprompted, raw.
Did you ever listen back to the first episode?
Me?
Yeah, the first one we did. Caleb sounds like a fucking moron because I think I had it like way too planned out. And like, I want to do this, this, and this. And it sounds so fucking stupid.
What do you mean?
I don't get that on the re-listen.
Oh, I don't listen to the first episode if I ever listen to it. I hate the first episode.
I thought it was good.
Caleb sounds really weird. I don't like what I was doing.
What were you trying to do?
I don't know. I think I like had a plan. Like, oh, who he is and what he's going to do. And this would be his action for this, this, this. Instead of just playing a character, you know?
Yeah.
Where it was too methodical.
I can't listen to myself, dude. But I also kind of feel the same thing. Like,
I got over my voice. Now.
Well, I don't know if it's as much as like... Well, it's a little bit both. But like, I kind of feel that where like... I don't know. I kind of get that though. Like kind of what you say.
That's the thing. I feel like you can't think about it like your school presentation. Just, who the fuck's Jerry? What the fuck's Jerry doing?
Bro, I wasn't ready for this shit though, bro. I'm just trying to play some Delta Green, bro.
Moving on.
Alright, what was it?
I was gonna ask him about his toughest case.
What was Jerry's toughest case?
No, he said he didn't want to do it. He said he didn't want to do it.
Never some gruesome body you
said
found.
He said he didn't want to do it.
Alright.
The four of us uncovered this guy at a bar. Bobby Tillman.
He just discussed this case.
The whole fucking campaign.
This was my first case.
It's like an hour
fresh off
and
the force, I get a call to show up to the cavalry club. And that's where it all began.
It's like it was all made for me.
That's something that I kind of went into a little bit more. I think that's a cool little practice, you know? I used to run it. I used to do that a lot with my Discord, Delta Green, a lot. And it was really good for them because they were new to the game and they weren't really comfortable improvising, and it kind of helped them along in that.
I'll do it next time. You gotta make me go first, bro. I can't go after. He fucking just did like an Oscar scene. Like, beautiful. Like,
don't compare yourself to other people. Finn has a very small penis.
I don't believe that, actually.
Do you want to measure?
I'm pretty sure he has a hog.
No, if my penis is small, will you go? Will you tell us about your toughest case?
Yeah, dude.
Wait, let me put it on the table.
Yeah.
Yeah, let me see the wiener. Let me see the wiener.
So.
Yo.
So.
Everybody, I did just show my wiener.
Dude, I just saw a head.
So. Clock reads 2:07 as Aaron Lang exits the trailer to the porch, with Sergeant Greg Atkins following quickly behind him. The screen door closes behind them, and the four of you find yourselves alone, along with Ray's dog Sarge and a broken radio. Outside, a collection of on-shift officers continue their perimeter. The four of you find yourselves here, 2:00 in the morning. What do you want to do?
I'm going to offer everyone here a cigarette and start making a pot of coffee.
Put my hand out. Gladly take that.
Joe, do you have anything else in that rest of that file that Atkins had given me, the copy of the file that I was looking through?
You're going to continue to go through it?
Yeah.
Looking for anything that you missed the first time?
Yeah, because I feel like it was like we wanted the phone number out of there and
so you're probably about 10% really reading every single word in every single document, and you do realize that you did skim through some of it, because a lot of it is like collections of stuff. So they are organized by like the different cases. So there's a lot of stuff. So when he says stuff about falsified reports, those are all kind of together. So you read like the first four. Okay, those are falsified reports. Skip a couple, next one, and so on and so forth. Now you're starting to kind of read in between down here. But you're still progressing through that.
All right, I'm comfortable. Can I... Is there a role that it would take for me to determine how long the process would be to put a child in foster care, in an orphanage, etc.?
What is your law score?
55.
I'm not going to make you roll for it. You would understand that it's a couple of phone calls.
Okay.
The process is long, but on the law enforcement side, it's rather quick.
Okay. We're outside, right?
Inside.
Inside. I kind of, as Ray hands, starts to hand everyone a cigarette, I kind of like just put my hand up and I'm like, it's a Cuban. Light the Cuban.
Son of a bitch.
Give a little smirk. Where's the, I want to say to everyone, like, we got to step away from everyone here. Maybe we can send everyone outside with the other cops right now.
They are. You are. Yeah. The four of you are alone in the trailer.
And my dog.
Oh, and the dog. Okay. Marcia. I'll start with this. Lang did a good thing.
While he's doing that, sorry, I want to start looking around for anywhere there would be bugs, hearing bugs, anything.
Gotcha. Roll search.
While he's doing it, mm-hmm. Lang did a good thing. I know it doesn't seem 90. Like it.
You're taking a look.
I know it doesn't seem like it now, but he saved that girl, and he also took the ashes of the unborn child of Nancy. If he hadn't done that, who fucking knows where that baby would be now? Or, well, the ashes of that baby and the girl. What does this tell us? This tells us, I think the one thing is obvious, that they want her, and I point out the window and I point at the little girl. And I know that this might seem ridiculous, but we've been talking for a while now, a couple days, about how we can bait these people to properly get us to the ranch.
No, you're not. No.
Who's gonna take care of that kid? She's gotta go in an orphanage regardless. If somehow they found out that she ended up in an orphanage, we put our eyes on it. Who has a better idea? I'll say that.
Imagine I'm like mid puff. Sarge, you suggesting we bait the kid?
That's right.
You really lost it now, huh?
I think we're out of options, man.
You don't think that, at this point, they took the coffin, they got to Nancy. Why wouldn't Marcia have taken her? You don't think they could have taken her by now?
The kid?
Yeah.
Lang took the kid.
I know, but that was after Marcia was already gone. That was after they came and took the coffin, and I mean, like you said, I think Lang's a good guy too, but against what we've seen, they could have made it through Lang.
I'll say this then. Would you feel comfortable if you sent that girl to an orphanage and no one had eyes on her?
No.
All right.
I got no qualms. I just think it's going to take too much time, that's all.
How do you suggest we bait her?
I think we just put her in a fucking orphanage and let them do the rest.
How we watching?
We don't have a cop watch the orphanage. We watch the orphanage.
We have time to do that.
We're running low on time, that's for sure. Look, it's a suggestion. Something's going to happen to that kid. And I suggest we supervise. That's all.
Yeah, I mean, whole family dead. It's an inevitability.
Yeah. Because am I wrong to say that that kid might have Do we know for a fact that that kid is not a Tillman? I don't think we do.
No. No, we don't.
Yeah. There might be Tillman in that girl. That's all I'm saying.
Well, maybe we just let him know that we got her. All we gotta do is let Minneapolis know, right? And then not all of them know.
We could.
You know, if that happens, then somehow we get a call that state jurisdiction somehow is going to take over this little girl's, you know, this care, whatever. Come take her. There's your evidence.
Yeah, I mean, make it obvious enough that she's out in the open, like you said, and then I don't think she makes it into... I don't even think she makes it to a home. I don't think she makes it the next 2 days. I think somebody bites before that.
So, that's valid. Our coffin was stolen from right under our feet. Are we suggesting just bringing her back to the same place that we were just robbed at? And they're gonna assume that it's just as, easy to break in and break out?
Well, like I said, no one has to break in or break out. If we get orders from a higher jurisdiction, there's nothing we can do about it, you know, wink, wink. But watch, right?
Right. All right.
I think it needs to be said, but lying throughout a lot of accusations, was there any validity to this one? I point to the case file that involved Longo and Winters, and do we even trust the people that would be giving us that information? I mean, Longo set it all up. Longo set up state. It can't be that black and white, right? That he's just Winter's guy.
He did burn the photo.
But I feel like he could have done a lot more to hamper this.
Mm. Absolutely.
But I think back to sitting in your trailer and he took one look in there, he took one look at RJ and he stepped out. He didn't come near any of that. I'm not putting it out of the question.
Right. Might be hard to press him on that, especially right now. Regardless, we gotta get back to the station.
We got a little bit more bait, not as fresh though. Out back. Like I said, LaRocca succumbed.
Right.
Can always let him know that he's here too.
Yeah. Could just put it on the radio. See if someone picks it up.
Did I find anything?
You believe this room to be bug-free. And you continuing still, I imagine, as you're talking, going through these, There's nothing that sticks out to you immediately, but the one thing that you do kind of get the sense of is that it's not outside of the realm of possibility that this single sheet of paper, which it is a single sheet of paper, it's basically just correspondence, could have been mixed in with the original documents and you would have missed it. Just because of the pure amount of how many documents were in that original folder that was handed over by Atkins.
And you were saying this is a loan, it's not like this is attached to a whole case file about the case.
No. There's no more information regarding that task force or any of the other people who are mentioned in there.
Oh, I meant to ask, did we, I mean, this was less than 10 years ago. I mean, I would have almost been working here. Roy, for sure. An officer, Gertrude Kirkland. Do we know either of those guys?
They do not sound familiar to you. Nor anyone who's been on the force for, you know, any more than you have in this group of four in the LFECU right now.
Is that weird? Like, even if you don't, like, know people, like, by name, you would know, like, oh, this is Officer Whatever. I know that Officer Whatever, I see his name at the timesheet.
Maybe if he's in a different department, that's the only way. But yeah, you, for the most part, know everyone who you work with.
Does it seem weird that nobody, even he was working there
a little weird
3 years before this happened,
a little
that he
weird.
Would have never heard of these guys?
A little weird.
Yeah, you were what, like 60?
Years old?
No. You started working in Linwood in like 1960, right?
Yeah, around 60.
Yeah, like 10 years. Yeah. Yeah. And this task force is 63, and it was two officers that were... Yeah, sure, you started as an officer.
Yeah.
How'd you make your promotion, motherfucker?
I'll take another program point on this. All right, how about we wrap it up here, then we get back to the station.
Yeah. All right. We can regroup there. Take a conference room. All
right. Fatigue, as much as you can put it off, is setting in. You guys get the feeling that you're pushing it kind of hard. Have the feeling that if you keep this up without any sleep, you guys are going to start taking penalties to your roll. Pretty tired. Obviously, you guys can push it, but it's up to you. Not going to give you an exact time frame because it's kind of hard to figure that out.
It's like 2 a.m., right?
Yeah, pushing 2:30.
All right. It'll buff out. It'll buff out.
Is there, like, small sleeping quarters at the station?
I would wager to say yes. Maybe a room.
With, like, a bunk bed in it or something?
Maybe. For the most part, any time that you had to sleep at the station, you slept at your desk. Made it as comfortable as you can, pushed back a rolly chair and stuck your feet up. But, I mean, maybe in one of the... Not the interrogation rooms, but like actually in like lockup. Maybe there's a bed or two that you could probably swing.
Yeah. Well, when we get back. So. I'm there.
Yeah, I walk out. Yeah. Because Lang's outside.
Yeah, so you step out and you can see Aaron Lang smoking a cigarette, mm-hmm. which you have not seen him do often before. It's kind of weird. Like, you step out and you imagine to see the people in the perimeter and Atkins and Becker and Laura. But the first thing that you see right when you walk out is just Aaron Lang. You see just the back of his head as he's kind of got his elbows up on the railing, just kind of looking out, eyes on the bonfire off in the distance, still unoccupied. And he doesn't turn as you step out, but take another two steps out and you can see kind of scattered about. Becker and Atkins are talking off to the left with Laura kind of standing around next to him, and you know, out of the corner of your eye you see one of the patrol officers kind of stepping around. Dwayne Gaines is kind of over behind the bonfire, looks like he's looking at something back there.
Okay. I want to walk up to Lang, right? Walk up to Lang, like, behind him, right? I imagine he's not looking. Pat him on the shoulder.
Mm-hmm. He doesn't react. He doesn't, like, jump. He doesn't anything, and he just takes another drag from his cigarette.
Lang, next action item that you have, man, is it, you gotta sleep. Have someone drive you back to the station, to your house, whatever the fuck, and you gotta sleep.
He flicks the cigarette out, and it kind of hits a snow bank, like a pile of snow, and he just kind of takes a deep breath, turns to his left, and starts walking away.
Lang, you tell Charles about you being in here?
He stops, looks over his shoulder, and just looks at you, and you can see him. Just eyes bloodshot. And he just gives you a single nod. Turns back around and keeps walking towards the back of the house where you saw his patrol car.
I want to walk to the back of the house. Mm-hmm. I'm not talking to Lane. Lang or acknowledging him. Mm-hmm. I want to...
And he's pulling the tarp off the car, you see.
I want to find the body. He said it was out back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Looking around for it, kind of.
Would have assumed the cops... Other cops maybe would have found
a very, very good assumption to make. Yeah. You come back there and you don't immediately see anything. You don't see, like, a body there. You don't see, like, something long under a tarp. You don't really notice anything. Aaron Lang opens up the car and, like, peeks over the edge, kind of over the hood, and just kind of, like... Maybe not even making eye contact with you, just says he's behind the trash cans. Gets in the car and you hear the engine start up. You look behind the trash cans and you can see something covered by a tarp.
I'll give him a tip of the head. I want to go over and investigate the body.
Mm-hmm. So you kind of pull this blue tarp off and you can see the way that he is situated here is almost like he's in the fetal position. But like... squatting and leaning against the house into a corner where two corners of the trailer kind of intersect, and he's just kind of like shoved in that corner and a tarp just thrown on top of him. His skin that you can see is like grayed, and his face isn't facing you. Aaron Lang starts driving off.
Before I even like touch the body, I want to walk, you know, around to the side where I see the other police officers that are there, and just kind of... Yeah, we got a body back here. Can I get some guys?
Mm-hmm. A couple come over, including Dwayne Gaines, who at this point has made his way over. Anyone else doing anything during this time?
No, I'll go back and get my squad car from the... I'll start walking back to grab it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just, like, sitting down on the porch or something.
Gotcha.
Waiting to leave.
So, Gaines and a few other officers kind of step up, and they... first thing that they ask you when they come up is, Aaron Lang is leaving.
Yeah, he's got to get some rest.
Okay. Body, you want us to get crime tape? We'll get some spotlights. We can get tarp. I can call the coroner. I'll call this in now, actually.
Oh, let's get our story straight before we do anything. Lang found this body here upon arriving at the trailer park, all right?
That's what Lang said?
That's what I'm telling you right now.
Gaines kind of like looks at you weird.
We just don't want the wrong people getting this body. That's all.
Okay.
Yeah, call the coroner. Davey. Call Davey. Have him take a look at this, but I mean, this is standard stuff, nothing too brutal.
Gaines kind of looks at you for a little longer and then kind of like...
If you got a question, you can ask me. I know this is all very, very weird.
Well, I guess the only question I have is, do you know how this person died? I don't need to know how, I just want to know whether or not you know.
It seemed to me, and from what I gathered from Lang, that he was beaten to death.
Do you know who beat him to death?
Yeah.
Copy that, detective. Turns around and walks over to his car, presumably to radio for Davey.
Light another cigarette, walk back to the front. They're cleaning that up. Davey's gonna get a hold of him. We good here?
Yeah. Dog's coming back to the station.
Yeah. He'll be fine there.
All right. Becker, Atkins, and Laura. Fuck it. We could just bring them right now. Right. Girl's got to come back. Becker and Atkins. Yeah.
Well, yeah, they could do whatever the fuck they want, I guess.
Yeah. Walk up to those three, if they're together or separate, whatever.
They are separate. It looks like Becker and Laura are next to each other, and Atkins is having a conversation with one of the patrol officers.
Walk up to... what? I just want to walk near Atkins. Like, what is he saying to this guy?
You overhear him talking with Bill Middleton, just basic conversation about, you know, how long you've been on the force, stuff like that.
Oh, okay. Yeah, walk over to Becker and Laura, and... like, kind of hand on Becker's shoulder, and then looking down at Laura, and then get down mm-hmm. on my knees, getting at eye level to Laura.
Becker moves away to get your hand off his shoulder.
Yeah. Look at Laura, and I'm like, how you doing, Laura? Doing all right?
Mm-mm.
You tired?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I bet. All right. Why don't we, I know you remember the station. We'll get you back to the station. You'll be nice and safe and comfortable.
But my mommy should be coming home soon.
Yeah, we just got to, keep an eye on you until she does. She asked us to keep you safe. I look at Becker, and I'm kind of given the eyes of, like, tell her, Becker. That we're gonna keep your
Becker shit. Turns around and walks away. And Laura just like looks at him as he walks away.
Turn back to Laura. Okay, we're like, come on, we'll get you in a detective's car. All right.
Okay.
All right. Let's go walk over to wherever Caleb is.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, what car did you take?
I was like I said, I was walking back to the car to grab it so I could pull it around for the. The hurt. Yep. Yeah, and the headlights kind of come up as Caleb pulls up.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Cool. Open the door for Laura.
Mm, she gets in. Ray, you waiting on something, or you want to ride back to your truck?
I need a couple minutes. I'm just gonna walk back to my truck myself, or whoever else I'm driving. If you want to walk back with me,
I mean, it makes it easier. I don't know if either of these two are in the state to walk. I can take them back now.
I'm getting in a car right now.
All
right.
I'll see you boys back at the station.
I kind of tap Ray on the arm as you're walking away. I'm like, would you mind asking what Becker's doing or seeing if... I mean, we don't even know how the fuck he got here, presumably in Lang's car.
Yeah, sure. What, is he
looks like
ahead?
He's walking down the hill leading back to the main road.
How far is the hotel from here?
Pretty far.
I'm on the way to the main road as well, right?
If you're in your truck and you're driving,
yeah.
Or are you walking to your truck?
Yeah. Is my truck the other way? If I'm walking to my truck, or is it also?
No. It's down the hill.
Okay. Yeah, I want to walk to my truck, and as soon as I get kind of close enough walking, I want to just give a holler. You know, doctor, let me give you a ride. Come on.
Turns around. He kind of waits for you to kind of close the gap. No. Sorry, Ray. I'm calling a cab, and then I'm going back to Chicago. I wish you luck, and please update me on any breaks you make in the case, particularly regarding Weiss. Well, thank you for your time. Thank you for keeping me involved. Goodbye, detective.
All right. I appreciate your help with this. And you coming down. It's respectable, your concern for your friend.
Thank you for saying that.
If you don't mind, I'm just going to wait with you until you get picked up. There's a lot of shitty stuff going around right now.
Sure.
We don't have to talk.
And so you see him continue down the hill, and kind of next to what looks like a bus stop, there is a payphone that's out there down at the bottom of the hill past your truck. Maybe another, like, say 75 yards or so past your truck. Looks like he puts some coins in, places a call. Do you stand close enough to listen?
No, I want to approach, though, when I think he's going to be done the call.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and just in my truck.
Yeah. Hangs up and kind of sits down next to the bench on the on the bus stop there.
Yeah. I want to roll down my window. I know I said we were done talking. I just was thinking I got one question. How'd you get here? Did Lang come beating down your door or something?
No. Officer Lang did not beat down my door. He knocked on my door and told me, you know, it doesn't matter. I haven't been able to make sense of a lot of things recently about Weiss or this deity or Roy or any of that, but what he said to me made sense, and it was the first sense that I'd heard in over 48 hours.
Do you believe now?
The one thing that you should understand moving forward, based off of what Mr. Quinnen said, this is a virus. And it's spread through knowledge. It got Weiss. And it's gotten those kids. And it could get a lot of other people. Yeah, I do. I do believe. And it scares me.
Yeah, me too. But there's other stuff I believed in before this came into all our lives and really fucked everything up for everyone. I think that'll prevail in the end. You stay safe, Dr. Becker.
You too, Detective.
God bless.
Goodbye.
I roll up my window and I'll drive away at this point. Mm-hmm. I feel like I waited.
Yep, and as you're pulling out, you see a yellow taxi cab pull up. He gets in the back seat.
Go back to the station.
Okay. Everybody else? Laura in the passenger seat, presumably, of Caleb's squad car.
Yeah, I'll get in the back of that.
What you doing?
I'm in this car.
Oh, you already got in?
Yeah.
Before you guys pull out, Gaines steps up and kind of like taps on the window for Caleb.
Crank it down.
Davy Jones is should be right up the street. He should be pulling up soon. We'll get this body on ice and write a report.
We'll handle the report.
Anything else you need from us in the meantime?
No, anything else you're on tonight?
No. it's kind of funny. Official orders were to call it whenever you guys call it, so if you're calling it, then.
Hey, I'm okay with you getting sleep, but I'm headed back to the station.
I'll cut a couple of the guys loose and come back myself then. No skin off my back.
Yeah. The money while you can.
Gives you a nod and walks back over to his squad car. No metagame, Goblin. You speak up. If you're going to metagame, then you own it.
Well, you were talking. You were talking.
that's weird as fuck. He wants everyone
pertinent to this case to be on at the same exact time and then to not be on at the same exact time, exactly when we say we're done. That's weird as fuck.
He's also calling people that are not on the case. Like fucking random other cops.
Why do you think? My logic is that it's so we need all the help we can get. We were gone for
the better part of the last two shifts.
I mean, I see it as this kind of a similar tactic as when they got the coffin. Like, our advantage to being their superior is that we can kind of tell them to go places and do things, so we can, like, schedule metagame here and, like, have places free when we need them, where we need free.
The fuck does Longo need free?
Right? Like, why would you put every... Why would you say everyone's done weird. When the, just this four guys on this case, there's other shit to be done?
Yeah.
It is weird.
It's a little fishy.
Where... Can I roll down the window before you drive away? Do I see Atkins?
Yeah, Atkins is the only one left there.
Okay, I
he's just kind of like on the corner of the trailer.
Call over to him. Atkins!
I lost the other one in the abyss.
Like, stick my hand out the... My good hand out the window. Mm-hmm. Fucking.
Yeah, what's up?
How you getting back?
I don't know. I don't know where I'm going back to.
Did you explain yourself to any of the other officers?
No. I didn't even tell them who I was.
All right. Hop in.
Sure. He gets in.
All right.
Who's riding bitch?
Lara.
Oh, wow. Classic. Jerry what? Throws her over his shoulder. She fucking lands in the back seat.
Oh, she's shotgun. That's right. Yeah, we do a quick Chinese fire. I say, Chinese fire drill. Fucking get out of the car.
Yay! Okay.
Yeah. Lara's bitch seat.
Sure.
That's pretty much it. I'm just like, oh, we're going to get you back.
Drive back to the station.
Start driving back to the station. Greg does talk kind of on this drive. I don't know if Lang is cut out for this. I know you say you need sleep. I get it. You know, I understand. But when he comes back, I don't know if you should... Never mind. I mean, it's not my place to say anything, but he's not... I would refer him to Psych Eval if he was on the force. My force. But that's just me.
I appreciate the suggestion.
And you cut out for this? I mean, what's your place here now?
Well, first, I'd like to ask for that file back.
About that file. Who else knows about it?
The people in this car. Detective Hoyt. Aaron Lang. I don't even think Becker knows.
Okay.
I suppose if you're to go a little further, LaRocca knew. I don't think that RJ knew. But that's it.
Okay. No one else can know about this file. Yeah, Lang's going crazy, but I mean, we got this far based off hunches. I can't lie to you. And it's a hunch. I don't think it's a good hunch, but who knows the relationship that the lieutenant has with the chief of police?
I can't tell you how many task force I've been assigned to. You think I remember every single one of them?
Absolutely.
Aaron Lang found what he was looking for and latched onto it.
Absolutely.
That's the way that I see it, at least.
Regardless, we got a good batch of files from you, and I mean, nothing's changed, right? It doesn't leave this car, it doesn't leave Hoyt.
Again, I'd like the other copy back.
It's just sitting on the other console in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not touching it, not moving it.
Mm-hmm.
And it has the full file besides this Winners and Longo paper.
Okay. And he starts to reach out and grabs it and stuffs it in his inside coat pocket.
Yeah, we have the other copy, I think, at your house.
I think Ray has it on his person.
Got it. Okay. Still driving back to the station?
Mm-hmm. Anything else that you guys say on that car ride?
Mm-mm. No.
Ray, you pull into the station.
Okay. And I pull out, park, just unload my car. I got a bunch of shit in there. I got all my camera equipment, developed and undeveloped photos. I got firearms and firearms and firearms. Mm-hmm. I got changes of clothes and everything.
Yep.
Just dump it all.
You hear a voice shout in the parking lot. Detective Hoyt.
I turn.
Lieutenant Longo. Looks like he's got his heavy jacket on and he's got a briefcase in his hand. Hey, look, did you find Lang?
Yeah, we got Lang.
He's good?
Yeah, he was at the trailer park.
Gotcha.
He had Laura. He had Dr. Becker. And he was with Adkins as well.
Becker's still around?
He just saw himself out from the trailer park via cab back to Chicago.
Okay. And you said Laura. Anyone else?
Yeah. Davy Jones is picking up a body from the trailer park. It's La Rocca.
I don't know who that is. Ray, you're stacking up bodies.
You peeked in my trailer. You only saw RJ in there? Is that all you saw?
No, I saw someone on the ground. Two people on the ground, actually.
Yeah, we ran into some...
La Rocca, like the...
No, not the head, but the family, yeah.
You got fucking mob ties in this case?
Yes, sir.
Look, and he kind of grabs his head. I save it for tomorrow, okay? Well, fucking Jesus Christ. I can't believe we're this late into the investigation and I gotta have debriefs with you guys. Doesn't matter. Look, write me a report. I don't care where you put it. Just make sure that I at least get it so I can read it. Tomorrow, shift starts 7 o'clock, okay?
All right, I'm staying here tonight, so I'll be here.
Okay, all right, I'm going home. Everybody else is still on shift, or are they off too?
They should be pulling up at the station, maybe a couple minutes behind me, I don't know.
All right. Okay, write that report. Davy Jones, does he need to do an autopsy?
Just a very basic one.
Okay, and the kid?
We're going to take care of that.
Okay.
Sergeant had a plan.
Lang is...
Yeah, we relieved him. He needs sleep. He's been working, I don't know, maybe sextuple overtime the past so many days.
Him and half the force right now. I mean, yeah, Aaron Lang has been pushing it, but these guys are pulling doubles too. Just keep that in mind too.
Yeah, I know, but
It's what? And he kind of looks at his watch. Now it's Friday. Feds take over Monday. We got 2 days to get this shit wrapped up before it's out of our hands. Yeah, if you really want to do this.
We ain't gonna wrap it up for sleepwalking zombies. That's all I'm saying.
I agree 100%, which is why I'm taking my leave. I'm going home.
See you in the morning, Lieutenant.
Bye, Ray. He steps away.
And as soon as I see him pull out, I want to wait in the parking lot. He pulls away, and I want to open up my car door and let Sarge out.
Mm-hmm.
Walk into the station.
Concrete. And start making your way in. And at that point, kind of as you can see Ray and Sarge making their way up, you guys pull in Caleb's squad car.
Get out, head inside.
Get out. You guys all kind of make your way into the front area around the same time.
Keep doing that.
Just saw Luongo before y'all pulled up. Had to spill the beans about mafia ties and the case now. I mean, everyone knows there's a body, so... You know, he felt a way about that, but time keeps on moving, so,
yeah.
I'm gonna get some rest. I'm staying here tonight. You said 7 a.m. sharp. We're starting.
7 a.m., yeah. And I look at the girl.
Who's just kind of, like, looking around. You can see her eyes, like, drooping.
Where is she safest tonight?
Probably here.
Yeah. All right. Yeah.
We can fix her up some some type of nice, cozy little place to sleep in. I don't see why not.
Yeah, we could.
Just at least for one night.
Yeah. Why is everybody like, yeah, we could. We could fucking do that. We could totally do that. That's a great idea. Didn't it get robbed last night?
I'm sleeping here tonight.
Oh, you're sleeping here.
Yeah, okay. I'm sleeping here tonight.
Okay. And do we have night shift? We still have night shift, right? Or are they going home too?
They're still around and okay. Kicking.
All right, that's good. All right. That is a great idea.
Yeah, let's, here, I'm going to head in. I mean, if you want to head in and help me get a spot for her set up, but I'm probably going to just lock myself in the conference room with all the evidence we got as well.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I'm going to, I got to get back to my house at least tonight. Sleep at the house. What about you guys?
Hi. Looking at Roy, I'm okay to stay here.
I look at Roy. Actually, I look at Jerry first. What are you doing tonight?
I need to sleep.
Here or at your house?
Don't matter.
All right. Ray. I say this completely out. I'm not hiding anything. I'm like, can we make sure he's cuffed before he falls asleep?
Yeah, I gotcha.
All right, gentlemen. I give like a fucking half salute. 7 a.m. Start walking to my car.
Okay. So, quickly, I just want to go through the sleeping arrangements. If you guys are trying to set Laura up somewhere, I'm not going to... you know, split hairs over just, you know, exactly where it is, but what is the idea with where is she sleeping?
Basically, I'm grabbing, like, every single, like, emergency blanket, pillow, anything, coats I can find that are not in use, and I'm making a massive, nice pile of shit.
A dog bed?
Yeah, pretty much, because that's kind of what I'm going to do for myself, half-ass, because I'm gonna go in the conference room myself.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to bring you in there, and I'm going to set her up in there. I'm going to set her up in, like, the throne, and I'm going to kind of sleep on the floor or some all right. Shit.
Easy enough. Caleb, you're going in there with him?
Not yet.
Okay, we'll jump back to that, but Roy, you're going home?
Yes.
Jerry, you are going
away. Can I drive home?
You can certainly try.
Want to give me a ride?
Can I drive home?
See, here's the thing. Here's the thing. I would say, in my head, I'm like, yeah, you just, you know, drive and whip the wheel and, you know, play with the Prindle and... Dude, it's 1971. You drive a stick, bro.
Oh. Have Jerry work the wheel. Mm-hmm. You work the pedals.
All right, Jerry, sit on my lap, buddy.
I could drive, man.
Jerry would probably have an easier time driving than you would, to be honest.
I'll drive.
Both of you can do it.
Okay. I'm so out of your way.
Then we're driving separate, baby. See ya. Going home.
Fuck. All right.
Yeah, get in my car. I'm hitting the hay.
Immense pain. Mm. Lidocaine patch is wearing off. You're trying to focus on driving, and you kind of turn the wheel, and your arm gets raised up in a way that kind of shoots down this pain, and you can feel it, and it shocks you, and you kind of jolt and pull the wheel a little too hard, but there's not a lot of cars on the road. It's almost 3 o'clock in the morning now. You're able to steady yourself and feel like you're getting yourself on your way home. You tell me what driving home is like.
It is a mess. It is fucking...
Are you steering with your teeth?
I'm like trying to use my leg, and I imagine I'm like shifting so bad, I'm like smelling a little bit of smoke. Like, it is fucking... I'm driving very slowly. Like, max I'm going like third gear max. But it's gross. It's gross. That's all it is.
But eventually you do make your way home.
Cool.
So, Ray, are you going right to sleep? Laura seems to be comfortable. Maybe you get her something from the vending machine or something.
Oh, yeah. I get her, like, a bunch of snacks and whatever she wants.
Yeah, and she falls asleep rather quickly.
Yeah, but I want to make sure he's situated first.
Yeah. I mean, I know. Obvious worry about me, but... Are you okay with Atkins just being around?
At this point, you realize that Atkins has been left in the lobby area, just kind of sitting on a chair.
I don't fucking know, man. There's a lot of shit I'm not okay with right now. You're right, though. He can't just sit there. I don't know.
I mean, if he's not moving, he's not moving.
He's a dead man walking, you know? I mean, if he feels safe here and no one's got a problem with him sitting there and he doesn't have a problem sitting there, then...
Important stuff we have to lock up anyway, I think.
I'm locking myself in the conference room, so he ain't getting any of our evidence or anything like that.
Yeah, just give me like 20.
Okay.
And I head to where all our files are.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to pull anything I could find on Task Force 1187C.
Taking the time to look for Task Force 1187C. You're beginning to go through that process.
Do you tell me you're looking for that?
Yeah, yeah.
I try and help you to expedite that.
Okay, yeah, expediting that a little quicker. You do eventually find some information regarding Task Force 1187C. What you're able to find is a fully fleshed case file that seems to be a task force that was created on behalf of the U.S. Marshal Service in order to kind of hunt down some of these drugs that were going across the border. You go through the case file. The gist of it seems to be that the marshals were hunting this fugitive whose name is Todd Atwater. So this fugitive named Todd Atwater was apparently at large, seemed to be dealing in some drugs, and the marshals were having problem finding him because he was going between Wisconsin and Minnesota. So eventually they got several police forces involved in it in order to hunt this guy down. They eventually found him. He went to jail. Simple as that. The reason that it is set up as an OCDETF task force, and this is something that you guys would know, it dealt mainly with drugs. So because drugs were involved, it's easier to kind of create this task force to help hunt this fugitive. Same if there were guns involved or any kind of explosives, you understand that. But basically, I mean, no other officers like named by named except for the marshals who were listed there. They found him, and it looks like, and you would kind of guess this based off of how the case file is set up, this is more of a precursory kind of, hey, Linwood Falls was involved in this, but it doesn't look like they actually did much. Neither of the two police forces involved actually ended up doing much. No specifics are named like, oh, well, we did this, we had this operation here, we called him here, we did this, we did that. It was this file that you find, which seems to be all that there is regarding this, is more or less just a signifier of Linwood Falls PD was involved in this task force at this date for this purpose.
And Lang was under the impression that Longo got promoted because of this?
That's what he said.
Would it seem weird to me that he would get promoted over this unless he was like the...
Yeah, no, unless he...
One XP away from leveling up?
Yeah, or he specifically did something involved in this task force.
But yeah, but it seems weird. It seems like this is a pretty just like, oh, they helped out on something.
Yeah, and it doesn't even state what they did or if they did anything at all.
Yeah, and Lang didn't say. Lang was just saying, maybe he matched up the timelines. Can I look at anything under? Would there be a way for me to look up stuff about Longo in February 1963?
Yeah. What, specifically cases he worked on?
Yeah, or like there is a thing that like, oh, he's getting promoted.
It does look like that there was some cases that he worked on, but none of them are like those big ticket promotion cases. It's what you find is that he was promoted a little over a month after this task force. However, you also find the results of his lieutenant exam, which are fantastic scores, fantastic marks. You come away with the impression that this was a completely natural promotion. Okay. Not through one specific case or anything like that, but a continued pattern of hard work and dedication for the force.
Yeah. And he'd been there for a while. And okay. Head downstairs.
long as the door's locked, right? It's not open?
No, it is not opened. And you also see the day shift, now night shift, LFVCU kind of milling about. Fewer than you saw the first time you came down here. Captain Galloway is not in his office. Looks like there's two of the day shift, now night shift VCU members sitting at their desks.
Okay. I don't say anything. I just want to take my handcuff key and put it in top drawer of my desk.
Okay.
And then head back to the conference room.
Okay.
You ready to go to bed?
Yeah, I guess. I grab the case file that I was looking at in the trailer. You have the copy of it?
Yep.
Does thumbing through it, does it seem like it's like a complete remake, what I'm seeing so far?
You've recently gone through the copy that Greg had. Yeah, I mean, it seems identical.
Okay.
Do you go through your guys' file in its, like, completeness?
That was the plan, that Caleb was going to have this as, like, his late-night social media scroll.
Sure.
Is this table locked into the, built into the floor?
No. Unless you want it to be.
I do.
It is.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I take one end of the cuff it around my wrist, take the other end around the table leg.
Mm-hmm.
And then sit myself up with a folder.
Yep.
Just looking at it, sitting on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
You rig a jacket or something.
Oh, yeah, there's a ton of extra shit in the room just lying around now.
Just use it as like a pillow under my chin and
pull one of the things off of Laura's dog bed. And Sarge is also in this room with you as well. And he kind of looks like he's tired too. He kind of nestles up, not like cuddling with Laura, but like next to her, not like touching her clothes or anything like that, but like on the dog bed that you've made for Laura.
All right, cool. I just want to make sure the blinds have been shut, and I'm gonna lay down.
One more thing, I want to hand two guns, whatever I have, to you. Being safe, other side of the room, I guess.
All right. Hey, man, listen, I trust you. I mean...
Oh, no. I don't trust myself.
No, I trust you. No. Good night, Caleb.
Good night.
You continue to go through the files?
Yeah, not fighting sleep, though.
Yeah, and you do... it does take you some time, but you do eventually find in your copy of files that correspondence. Not fighting sleep. Going to sleep, Ray?
Yes.
Jerry, you are...
Going right to sleep.
Coming home, lights are all off.
I don't even make it to the bed. Go right to the couch.
Right to the couch?
Ow, cold.
Do you do anything with your cane?
Nope. It's right next to me.
Gotcha. Roy. Make your way home. Lights are off. What do you do?
Same deal. Just park. I know it's late, but I walk over to Caper. And is he sleeping?
No. He's standing. Just looking at you.
I just walk up to him and I kind of run my hand like across his neck.
Mm-hmm.
And
he kind of like brushes the edge of his head against, your shoulder.
Give him like a good pat.
And he shakes out.
Walk back into the house. While I was in there, did April like change the hay, like fill him back up on food and water? Like,
you check that?
Yeah.
No.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Walk back in the house, and I'm not inspecting the house, but like just making my way upstairs to my bedroom.
Yep.
Just looking around.
Walking, kind of slowly stepping up towards the steps, and I need you to roll a dexterity check for me. Roll a dexterity check against your times 5 score. Add 20 to it because you are exhausted.
add 20?
Yes.
30 on a 50.
30 on a 50, rather deftly. As your foot comes down, you feel something beneath it that shouldn't be there. You sidestep yourself, catch yourself back on the step previously as the chicken jumps off of the third step. Almost stepping on it, almost falling. The chicken lands back down on the ground and begins pecking at the floorboards.
I don't even look at the chicken. Roy knows that it's the chicken. Roy is aware that he just tripped over the chicken. He can hear it pecking at the fucking wood, and the sound is piercing his brain. He just doesn't even look. He just keeps walking.
Mm-hmm. Up the stairs. April's bedroom door is closed.
I peek in there. Always do.
Look in. You can see what looks like a lump laying on a bed beneath some covers.
Walk back to my... Walk into my bedroom.
Walk into your bedroom. So, with the LFVCU trying to find themselves some sleep on a sleepless night, that's where we're going to pick up next session.
Thanks for listening to this episode of LFVCU, a Nasty Table production.